This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer, riding out on old Dan again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We're bringing you a series of studies, have been for the last several weeks now, on the RSV Bible, the errors and the omissions and all of those things. It's been caused the Bible to be perverted, and they've palming it off on innocent folks do not know the difference. And some folks have called it the RSV Bible, and some have called it the Antichrist Bible. But we're just bringing you some studies, simple studies there, pointing out the errors and the omissions. And I've mentioned it once or twice, but we have a little pamphlet we put together. We've entitled it Notes on Bible Version. And in it we set forth, it's about three or four pages, we set forth, pick out some of the excerpts out of the Bible and compare them with the Authorized King James Version Bible. And we'd like to send this to you if you'd be interested in it. Many folks have written for it, and I just want to mention it to you. We compare it with the New Revised Standard Version Bible. We compare it with the American Standard, the NIV, New King James Version, this New Scofield, a Living Bible, Live Version, New Jerusalem Bible, a New American Bible. Many others have come out even since we made this little pamphlet. We compare the Authorized with the New Living Translation, the New World Translation, the Douay Bible, the Common Bible, the Oxford Annotated Bible, all of those things. And I have excerpts taken from them and showing you scriptures that you can go compare your King James Version Bible with. And if you would write me, I'd be glad to send it to you free and postpaid. Just ask for Notes on Bible Version. And my address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. We're coming down to the end of this study now. We'll probably have this one and maybe one other study. And it's been a gracious time. It's about 50 or 60 of these 15-minute messages. We're going to also have them there on the sermonaudio.com before long. If you'd like the more information there, we already have the Old Trailblazer and the Voice of Truth broadcast on sermonaudio.com. Go there on your internet site, and you can hear the audio portion of these messages, the Pastor Shelton's messages on the Voice of Truth, and then also on the Old Trailblazer on some different series on the soon coming of our Lord and the other topics. And if you would, I'd be glad to send you a list of all of the messages that we have produced and aired over the Old Trailblazer broadcast. But let's get back to our study. We were looking there, yeah, in our last study about some remarks made by Dr. Frank Stagg, in one of the modernists who helped put this Bible together. And on page 8, the doctor, we're going to pick up where we left off in our last study. And on page 8, the doctor makes this statement. Jesus was not guilty and did not become guilty. By no stretch of the imagination can we say that the innocent one can actually become guilty. Neither does the guilty one become innocent. The doctor here denies the great doctrine of imputation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ on the cross became in the sight of God what the sinner is. God imputed all of our sin nature and our sins unto his Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute. There's no language that can describe it. No carnal mind can understand it. When you deny that Christ became guilty for us, you deny the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross for sinners. Romans 8:3 says, "God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." Then in Isaiah 53:6 we read, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ became yet without sin, and what the sinner is, and this, that the sinner might become what Christ is." This is complete, absolute substitution. If Christ is not a substitute for sinners, then he's not anything. We have, therefore, no Savior, and God has provided no salvation. Now, let's take one other quotation from Dr. Stagg's pen and show you how far from the path he strayed on the doctrine of blood redemption. On page 13 of his book, we read, this is a quotation now, direct quotation, The Son was not punished by the Father for doing his will. One simply sublimates his egocentric depravity if he desires that Jesus be punished for his own sin. The escapist neurosis or flight from reality is doubtless at the bottom of many pseudo conversations, and hence the pagans in our churches. A come-and-get-it salvation which is concerned only for going free at another's expense is not the salvation available in Christ Jesus. Any pagan would like to have another assume his death. Now, let's look at that statement. The Son was not punished by the Father for doing his will. Well, it's written in Psalms 40-7, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is written within my heart," he said. "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." John 6:38. What then? What was the will of the Father? It was to save sinners. John 6:40. To save sinners, God had to provide a substitute. That substitute was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, for Christ to be a substitute, he had to die. The death of Christ was determined back in the councils of eternity. This truth is clearly stated in Acts 2:23. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Yes, it was determined back in the eternity that Christ should die. Christ was born to die, and that according to God's will. So, it was his Father's will that Christ die. Then in Isaiah 53:10, God said, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." So you see, my friend, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that is, to make him our substitute. The God of heaven delighted in the death of Christ, because through him, the just dying for the unjust, he could pardon poor sinners such as you and I whom he loved. Now, let's look at this statement. One simply sublimates his egocentric depravity if he desires that Jesus be punished for his own sin. That's Dr. Stagg's statement. No sinner ever desired within himself that the Lord Jesus be punished for his sin. That is contrary to nature. As we said, Christ came into this world to die for sinners. He came voluntarily. He laid his life voluntarily. Psalms 40, John 10. His death on the cross was voluntary. Death for sinners. But let's face this fact. When the sinner is awakened by the Holy Spirit to his utterly lost condition, is stripped of all of his self-righteous rags, and he sees himself utterly lost, utterly condemned, and hell-born and hell-bent, and hell-deserving, then he begins to see for the first time in his life that he needs a substitute, or he'll go to hell himself. Then and only then does he begin to desire and long after and cry out for the Lord Jesus Christ as his substitute. His cry is, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, the sinner. I am the sinner, and Christ died for me." But it's only an awakened, depraved, helpless, hopeless, condemned sinner that cries for such mercy. Oh, listen, my friend, listen. An egocentric, depraved sinner never cries for mercy because he has too much pride, according to Obadiah 1:3. He will do his best to explain away Holy Spirit conviction, blood redemption in Christ, rather than face the fact of his condition before God. Now, let's notice his next statement. According to Dr. Stagg, the escapist neurosis or flight from reality is doubtless at the bottom of many pseudo conversion, and hence the pagans of our churches. No sinner ever gets saved until he faces reality, my friend. It is the flight from reality that has filled our churches with these so-called conversion or professions without possession. We have a little booklet here by Pastor Shelton called Flight from Reality, The Sinner's Flight from Reality. If you write me and ask for it by title, I'll be glad to send it to you free and postpaid. The doctor here, Dr. Stagg, with thousands of other church members, have never faced reality on their own. They've never known Holy Spirit conviction. We here at Radio Missions, where the old Trailblazer broadcast originates, we've been praying now for months, asking the Lord to send the Holy Spirit in our midst to awaken our folks. Why do we do that? Because here, the pastor and others, the Lord has shown us that without the Spirit's work, no man will ever get saved. You know why your church is dead? Your church is stagnant? Your church is on the rocks? It's because the Holy Spirit has departed, if he ever was there. Oh, my friend, I've seen refreshings from the Holy Spirit when sinners would be brought down to see themselves lost and undone and crying for mercy, and then the Lord saved them. And that's what we're asking for. Every poor soul who ever gets saved comes to see himself in need of salvation. He has nothing to offer the Lord. What do you have to offer the Lord, my friend? The Scripture says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, I asked you this. Can a decision for Jesus make you alive? Can shaking my hand or some pastor's hand make you alive? No, the Scripture says, "And you hath he quickened." That means made alive. Oh, listen, my friend. Listen. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a heart. It's an operation in the heart. Oh, listen. Listen now what the doctor said. In sarcasm, I believe. He says, "A come and get it salvation, which is concerned only for going free at another's expense, is not the salvation available in Christ Jesus. Any pagan would like to have another assume his debts. No sinner by nature ever desired that the Lord would be punished for his sin. No sinner by nature ever desired salvation by grace. And left to himself, he will never accept salvation by grace. The preaching of Christ crucified as our substitute to him is foolishness. But Christ came into the world to die for sinners. He came and gave his life voluntarily. His death on the cross was voluntary. He was under no constraint to die, but he died willingly that we might be saved." Listen, Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, my friend, if I just had a vocabulary, if I just had the strength to sit here behind this microphone and tell you what Christ's death means to a poor old awakened soul. Oh, one who has seen him a little of himself. The Lord doesn't show you our whole thing. Doesn't show you your whole total heart. No, you wouldn't be able to tell. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You'd think you're so guilty or know you're so guilty, no one would have mercy on you. But he shows you just enough to drive you to Christ. Every sinner is driven to Christ by the sheer agony of his soul. When he sees his filthiness, his raggedness, his total depravity, that he deserves only a devil's hell. Now, my friend, listen. Folks ask me, "Is there a real hell, Pastor?" I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Well, even though one of our leading evangelists of this world made a statement in his news article the other day that I'm really not sure whether there is a living hell, a literal hell. But, my friend, he is. There is one. And I tell you why there's one. Because sin must be punished. Sin has to be punished. Did you know everyone's not going to heaven, my friend? I tell my folks in my congregation here, I say, "Do you know some of y'all probably going to go to hell?" You say, "Old Trailblazer, you must be crazy." No, I'm not. Listen, my friend, is everybody you know going to heaven? I don't think so. Remember, this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Would you sit down and write me? You may not understand or may not believe a thing I say, but my friend, I'm telling you the truth. Remember my mailing address? Help me with the broadcast, if you will. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Radio Missions is now offering a new flash drive containing the complete series of 78 messages on the Book of Revelation preached by Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. during the Voice of Truth broadcast. Each historic message is approximately 26 minutes in length, and each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.